In 1919, eight members of the Chicago White Sox conspired with gamblers to lose the World Series. Regarding the story surrounding that event, later known as the Black Sox scandal, Charles Fountain has written, "There are so many holes and so many tantalizing ways to fill them." His new book is called The Betrayal. Charles Fountain, welcome to Only a Game.
Thanks, Bill. It's great to be here.
You wrote this book, I assume, because you felt nobody who'd previously written about or made a movie about or done a documentary about the Black Sox scandal had gotten it right. Where did they go wrong in filling some of those holes?
I think in part some people went wrong by trying to fill holes that couldn't be filled. That one of the fascinations about this is that it is baseball's eternal mystery. We're never going to know exactly what happened over those eight games in 1919.
I want to get to some of those particulars. But first, in the interest of full disclosure, Elliot Aisonoff, who wrote the book Eight Men Out, upon which the film Eight Men Out was also based, was a friend of mine. You seem to think of his book more as a work of imagination than as a work of history.
Well, Eight Men Out is a book that everyone who has written about the Black Sox since owes a great debt to, and everyone who has written about the Black Sox since labors under a great burden because of. It was a brilliantly written book, but he made no apologies for writing it in its dramatic way that he had originally conceived of it as a screenplay. He allowed his imagination to take certain facts and certain speculation of facts and create some scenes around them.
You write that everybody with any knowledge of what happened in 1918-1919 put the onus of the entire thing on one player in particular. Tell us a little bit about Chick Gandel.
Well, amidst all the confusion, amidst all the, you know, varying memories from all of the participants, they can't agree on anything except the fact that Chick Gandel was the center of it. Mm. He was the player who put the fixed team together, in other words, recruited the others to the fix. He was the one who collected the money from the gamblers and dispersed it to the players, most of whom felt that he had shorted them, that he took away the lion's share of the money that had been paid and told them that the gamblers had double-crossed them. Most of the players were convinced that it was Gandel that did the double-crossing. Again, a mystery that we're never going to know.
By the time the World Series began, rumors were rife all throughout Cincinnati, throughout Chicago. Everybody was talking about this being fixed. It wasn't exactly a masterpiece of criminal brilliance.
No, we think we don't know what happened because so much time has passed. Almost 100 years has passed. But really, I think if everyone had, sat down and agreed to an interview and told everything they knew, we still would have had 40 different versions of what had happened.
And half the people involved would have denied being involved, no matter what everybody else said. Arnold Rothstein at the top of that list.
You know, that was a brilliant piece of criminality on Rothstein's part, that it cost $80,000, we think, to buy these players. And Arnold Rothstein was a guy who often walked around Manhattan with $100,000 in cash on him. So he fixed the World Series. He, you know, launched the biggest scandal in the history of sport with what he had on him.
Did it ever occur to you in the process of writing this book that it might work better as a novel?
Oh,
it just sounds more and more like a novel.
Which is why the best writing on this to this point has been fiction. There have been a handful of novels that have used the Black Sox scandal as their foundation, most notably the W.P. Kinsella novel Shoeless Joe, which became the foundation for Field of Dreams. And Kinsella was able to do with Joe Jackson in the story what we all want to do, which is, you know, give it clarity, give it focus. And you can't do that when you don't know what's going on, but you can do that when you're in control of what's going on.
This story has plenty of villains. Maybe it has a hero. Hugh Fullerton, the Chicago newspaper man who wouldn't let the story go, although Fullerton was not without imagination in this. Please, say it ain't so that nobody ever said, say it ain't so.
Well, this is one of everybody's favorite parts of the story. The scene in Hugh Fullerton's story on the courthouse steps in September of 1920, after Joe Jackson had just confessed to the grand jury that, yes, he had taken part in a plot to fix the 1919 World Series. According to Fullerton's story, Jackson exits the courthouse and a little urchin in Fullerton's phrase, steps forward and says, "It ain't true, is it, Joe?" And Jackson says, "Yes, son, I'm afraid it is." And the little urchin replies, "Well, I never would have thought it." From that, we get "Say it ain't so, Joe," which is how, you know, journalists had a certain carelessness about them in those days.
I prefer to call it creativity.
In three lines, you've got the entire Black Sox story encapsulated. You've got the hurt. You've got the betrayal. You've got the, little boy robbed of his innocence. You've got the great American hero stripped of his dignity. The common consensus over these last, 95 years is that Hugh Fullerton made it up because nobody else heard this. And, there were allegations that Hugh Fullerton made things up. But I don't think it matters at all whether he made it up or not. He nailed it.
Charles Fountain is the author of The Betrayal, the 1919 World Series, and the Birth of Modern Baseball. Professor Fountain, thank you very much for speaking with me. This has been fun.
This has been a lot of fun for me as well, Bill.